Welcome to the Infinite Shores Podcast,
where we open an infinite can of worms. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Luke. And today we're continuing our podcast series on fantasy. And today we're going to focus especially on some sticky issues that Christians really have to struggle with when you're reading fantasy. And we're going to hit some of the big ones. I'm sure you'll be able to think of some more, especially depending what you're reading at this moment. The first one we want to hit on, and we talked a little bit about last time, is the problem of magic. Now, why is this even an issue for Christians?
Well, I think that, you know, maybe to start, just to think about, like, the Harry Potter series, which is very popular. Maybe it's lost a little bit of popularity at this point just because it's the series is done, the movies are done coming out, so, you know, as things always go. But magic features heavy in that, and I would really call that fantasy, although maybe you'd call it modern fantasy because it takes place in our modern world. But it involves magic, and it sort of detaches from the modern world.
It's a little bit removed.
The wizarding world is very, very removed. Yeah, that's a way to think of it. But in that, and I remember somebody saying it this way to me. He said, in the Harry Potter series, you have good witches and bad witches, good wizards and bad wizards. He said, but in the real world, all witches and all wizards are bad in God's eyes because they're all using magic. And magic is something God does not approve of us using.
Now, maybe I'm going a little bit obvious here, but where do you get that from the Bible? Can we talk just a little bit deeper about that for the moment?
Sure. Well, in the Old Testament, and I'm sorry that the reference is escaping me, but God specifically says don't allow somebody who practices divination or sorcery or magic to live in your community. He told the Israelites that they needed to get rid of that person. And the only example, really, in all of Scripture we have of someone who used magic was the Witch of Endor, where King Saul went to her to get some advice, and she sort of conjures up a spirit that speaks as though it's Samuel. It's really not clear if it really is Samuel or not. It's clear that God disapproves of that in that episode, and I think that's the warning of Scripture, is that magic is not a good thing.
Yep. And that's right at the end of 1 Samuel. We get some examples later on in the book of Acts, as several sorcerers become Christian and they burn their scrolls.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a major thing. That's a lot of money that they're giving up by burning their scrolls and saying, look, we're not going to take any part in this anymore.
Sure.
I'll recommend, we're not doing book recommendations for fantasy here, but Wizards That Peep by Becker talks about the contrast here. And he brings up something really neat when it comes to the Bible, that when you look at, say, Jesus's miracles, if we looked at that modern day and we didn't know it was Jesus, someone feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and some fish, we'd probably call that magic. And Becker makes the point of saying, what is the source of that? Jesus, well,
yeah,
it's clear with Jesus,
yeah.
this is God is the source. When it's those other people, when it's magicians, when it's witches, the source is not Jesus. The source is not God.
Yeah.
The source is myself. Or the nature spirits, or even some will be very blunt and say, oh, I get that from a demon.
Yeah. Yeah, so you almost could just ask the simple question of, where is the power coming from? And if it's not coming from God, there's only one other power it can be coming from, and that's not good. You know, it's kind of Jesus' whole thing, if you're not with us, you're against us kind of thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so magic, we have to be cautious about magic in these stories, because we have to at least, at the very least, be able to say, this is not real, and this is not good in the real world, and I don't want to take this fantasy story as a reason to want to do that. I mean, it's fine for a kid to maybe watch Star Wars and pretend he's a Jedi, but as soon as that kid actually believes Jedi are real and wants to try to become one, maybe we have to have a conversation, right?
Absolutely, and I had a friend back in college that fell into that. He really got into fantasy, science fiction, and sort of the horror story, the point that he lost himself in that. And when I knew him, he'd come away from that and knew that for his own sake, he stayed away from such things. He said, "Now, I know that you can do that and you can keep away, you can separate reality and fantasy. I don't have that ability as much, so I'm just going to stay away from the fantasy." He knew himself well enough to say, that's not good for me.
Yeah, and that's a wise approach to take, where you and I think that's really what it comes down to, is you've got to know yourself well enough to know, is this something I can handle? Okay, so magic, got to be careful, got to know yourself, got to be discerning about that, and of course recognize that magic is, in a fantasy story, it's pretend, it's not real. What about monsters? Monsters play a big role in fantasy, everything from you've got the orcs and goblins to then you've got the trolls and you've got dragons. You've got sometimes there's horror fantasy where you've got maybe vampires and werewolves.
Yeah. With that, I would ask, what is their role in the story? And for the reader, what is your fascination? If the focus of the story is trying to turn these things that are evil and saying, no, those are the good guys, and you should sympathize with the monsters and you start identifying with the evil, okay, that's a bad thing. On the other hand, if this is, I guess you could say it's a shortcut into saying, okay, these are a bunch of bad guys and we just have to deal with it. Or if it's, look, there is evil and we must stand and fight against it. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You quoted last time Chesterton talking about, it's not that there are dragons that exist, it's that we can slay the dragons. And as a Christian, we know especially that it's not us that slay the dragons, it's that either God working through us or God who has just slain the dragon for us. Now, especially as you work into adult fantasy, or if you look at fantasy set in especially Roman and Greek times, you start running into mythical worlds where there are different gods. In a lighter way, you could talk about Percy Jackson. He's, I believe, the son of...
Poseidon, I think.
I haven't read that series, so...
Yeah.
You've got the Belgari, the Malorian. David Eddings loves setting up these fake pantheons in his worlds. I haven't read a lot of those either. I'm just familiar with them. How do you deal with that? Even Tolkien, he had gods in Lord of the Rings, and I know you're very familiar with those.
Well, sure, yeah. The world of Middle Earth really has. There is a god who has sort of created the world. But he created the world through these sort of demigods that he created, and the demigods also created these sort of sub-demigods, or whatever you want to call them, the Maiar spirits that were sort of like, they're almost like angels. And actually, that's what Gandalf and Saruman and Sauron are all, these sort of angelic beings. And you've got just different things. And Tolkien is writing as a Christian, from the perspective of a Christian, writing a series that, at one point in an interview, he once even said is essentially a Christian story. And so how do you fit in all of these different, well, what about all these different deities? I think that the key there is to recognize that, you know, we're not talking about a real world, and we know it's not a real world. And we're talking sort of in a what-if or in a symbolic way of things, right? And so when we look at a separate world and we say, okay, that's not real, but can I get something out of that world? Can I see something in that world that sparks something that's true, right? And when I do that, then I say, you know, maybe, okay, you know, every world has a god. And actually, maybe that, in a sense, speaks to something that is true. In that, I mean, we all have this natural knowledge of God that says that, okay, a world doesn't just exist on its own. The complexity that exists and all that there is, you know, speaks to the fact that there is a creator. So we look at a fantasy world, and it's the same thing there. There has to be something that started it. There has to be a God who created all of this. And maybe because it's a fantasy story, it's not our God. It's not the God of this earth. But because it's a made-up story, we can sort of resolve that. I don't know if that makes sense.
I don't remember if I've mentioned this in this podcast before. This takes us out of fantasy. When I was young, I read a lot of fantasy science fiction. And I read a story once where the main character had a de-evolution gun, where he could de-evolve creatures. And I remember telling my father as I was reading this, I must have been 8 or 9, and I remember telling him, well, in this world, evolution is true. And I remember very distinctly thinking, well, that's that world. That's not the way it works here. And even as an 8, 9-year-old, I got that this is fantasy. This is something that is fake. Mm-hmm. And I can enjoy the story for what it is. And it's not real.
Sure, sure. Now, the caution, though, with that whole thing is that you've got to be careful not to, in some ways, get swept away with these deities. I've seen that happen just in a couple of friends in high school, and these were not Christians, you know, to begin with. So hopefully a Christian wouldn't get swept away as easily by this, but it's always possible, and we have to recognize that. But as I say, I had a couple of friends who, they were reading this fantasy series, and there was a particular god in there. Well, they started to kind of form their own religion following this god from this fantasy series. And it became kind of like a thing for the two of them where they were constantly talking about how they're trying to follow the ideals of this god. And they said, you know, it's just a made-up god and a made-up story. And they said, yeah, but I really, their ideals really appeal to me. Unfortunately, some of the ideals that were part of this god in this fantasy story were not good. And they were not moral according to our own God's standards. And so, you know, if a Christian should find themselves getting swept away with kind of a fascination with a made-up deity in a book, I could see how that could be a real problem and something to be on, you know, guard for.
So again, we're sort of seeing a theme of discernment here. You need to know yourself, and I would recommend, you know, don't read just fantasy. Definitely be in your regular Bible study. Know what God says about these things. If you find yourself just reading fantasy, and if you're reading a particular world and that's all you're reading, maybe you need to step away a little bit and know yourself that much.
That brings up another thought, which is that as we're blogging here about Narnia, and one of the kind of central characters, obviously, is Aslan, who sort of is a picture of Christ. Now, that's a different world, and is it a different God or is it the same God? And it's interesting, I recall reading once where C.S. Lewis was talking about it. He was asked that question. And the way that he explained it was, he said, I don't believe God really did create another world called Narnia. But if he had, this is how he might choose to manifest himself and interact with his world. And so in that case, you've got a God, really in his story, it's the emperor over the sea. And then the son of the emperor over the sea, who is Aslan, who is really the deity of the world. Who actually in his story is intended to be the Christ of that world. Now that's a little bit different kind of situation. And because it's a little different, maybe we can understand it a little bit differently and see that he's trying to draw a picture there for us.
And I recall the same story, so we've read similar sources apparently at some point.
Yep. Okay, so this raises the question of if there are different gods in different worlds, what about moral standards? Is the moral standard the same? Is it different? From your reading, Luke, what do you think? Do you see a different moral standard, or do you see a similar moral standard?
Well, I suppose since we've mentioned it already, what about, we know that the one true God, the triune God, says magic is off limits to his followers, that anything that is magical is of the devil, and we want to stay away from that. Whereas you mentioned in Tolkien's world, well, here's Gandalf, and Gandalf does magic. Well, this world operates a little bit differently. As you mentioned, Gandalf is a different race, an angelic being, and he is working for the good.
Yeah.
He is not serving the dark force, in this case Sauron. He's working directly against. And so that world has different rules when it comes to, well, obviously their magic, at least when worked in certain ways, is permissible.
What I do think about this whole moral standard thing, though, is that, as you said, you look at fantasy, and maybe there are a few differences here and there, but generally, it seems like most fantasy worlds have a similar moral standard to our own, right? What we accept as right and wrong in general is kind of also accepted in fantasy literature.
It's almost as if there's this natural knowledge of the law that even these authors are operating under.
Yeah, like,
isn't that interesting?
Like, we all feel like, you know, yeah, killing is just not just okay. Right?
Yeah,
and thievery is not just okay. I mean, thieves are never really good people in these fantasy stories, you know, and so on. So, yeah, it's almost like there's a natural knowledge of the law. I wonder what that says about us as human beings. So certainly there are a lot of things, you know, specific elements of fantasy literature we just have to be cautious about. But at the same time, there are things we can learn from it. You know, we talked a little bit last time about just those concepts of redemption, of courage, of just bolstering us for things. I think stories have a power over us in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they help us tell who we want to be to a certain extent. Who are your heroes? That's who you endeavor to be. And you learn a lot about yourself by who you consider your hero.
Sure. I remember growing up and just every time I read Lord of the Rings, I looked at Aragorn and I thought, oh, man, it's just, I want to aspire to being like him, you know, strong and upright and doing what needs to be done no matter what and always trying to protect and always looking out for the others. And And now, of course, as I've grown up a little bit, I understand that really the hero of the story is really Sam.
Absolutely. Right? The one who actually does most of the bearing, really, it seems.
Yeah.
He's the servant, doesn't take credit.
Yeah. There's even that part where Sam, he carries the ring for a while. He wears the ring for like days on end. And because his heart was pure and it was focused only on selflessly trying to save Frodo, the ring had no power to corrupt him. And if you think about that, that really calls on that desire to just be selfless and to try to serve others. And that's really how we ultimately play out our faith, is serving other people and serving God as we do so. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for this podcast. But now it's time for our book recommendations. Luke, why don't you go ahead?
I have decided to change what my recommendation would be, so I'm surprising Brandon here. I read a book earlier this year that just blew me away called The Lost Conspiracy by Francis Hardinge. It's a book aimed at junior high readers, but the author just excels at creating worlds. She's created this Polynesian-type world where there is no modern technology the way we have it. And on this large island, there are certain people, and each tribe has one person called the Lost. And these people can speak to each other across great distances, and that's how they communicate. Well, in one day, all the Lost except one die mysteriously, and no one knows why. And it goes from there. The book is great, asks some great questions about family. The main character has that same selfless service, and yet struggles with that selflessness. She's serving her sister, who can't take care of herself. And, well, you're useless. Why should I take care of you? I could do so much better on my own. And that struggle is very real in the book and comes to a very neat conclusion. That's very encouraging.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to recommend a book that we talked about a little bit in our last podcast, which is the Prydain Chronicles. Now, the first of those is called The Book of Three, which if you've never heard of the series, you've probably never heard of that book, but maybe you've heard of The Black Cauldron because Disney did a movie about it. But the series is a little bit older. Lloyd Alexander is the author, and just a wonderful story. Five books in the series follows the adventures of a young man named Taran. He's the assistant pig keeper of Caer Dalbyn. And this series really actually draws on a lot of Welsh mythology to sort of form the basis of the story. But really it goes a lot from there, and it's very much focused on Taran as a character as he grows up and goes from this character who's very focused on wanting to be an adventurer and a hero and to do great things, to finding out that he's really very weak. He's young. He doesn't have a lot of experience with life and the world. And he finds out how weak he is, but then he really grows up a lot and kind of learns that being focused on other people is what really is good for him and good for others. And in the end, he experiences really the joys of doing something meaningful. And I guess I don't want to give too many more spoilers, even though Luke spoiled it last time. So if you listen to it next time, if you listen to the last podcast, well, you'll see it. Or hear it, or whatever.
Well, I think we're going to cut it off there, and we hope you have a great one. Read some good books.